5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. I'm John Batchelor. Missing Matter. Missing Matter. I once wrote a novel about comets. And in the course of writing that novel, I first ran into the missing matter problem, which I had never heard of. This is probably in 1981, and I was poorly read in space mysteries. However, there is now a claim that they've settled the mystery that I didn't know existed 40 years ago. Bob, what is missing matter? What was the problem? And what is this a momentary solution?
There's all the uncertainty here, lots of uncertainties. But back in the 50s, astronomers realized that the stars in the outside edges of galaxies were rotating or orbiting the galaxy much faster than they should. You know, as you move out from the solar system, the planets orbit the sun longer and longer orbits, and they move slower and slower because there's less, the gravity goes down. But they didn't find that with galaxies. They were finding they were moving faster at the outer edges. And that suggested there was a lot of missing matters. They've dubbed it dark matter. And they break up the amount of matter into baryons, which is the regular stuff we see, and then this missing matter that's dark matter that we don't know what it is at all. While using radio data that came from the detection of 60 fast radio bursts, which we don't know what they are, by the way, or where they come from or what causes them, they looked at 60 radio bursts and they saw how the radio emission changed as it traveled across the universe to us. And they used that data to suggest that they've located a significant amount of this missing matter as normal matter. It isn't dark matter. It isn't mysterious matter. It is just simply regular baryons, like made up the right around you, knock on wood, your desk. But it's hard to detect in the emptiness of intergalactic space. And this radio data says they've detected it. I should point out there's a great deal of uncertainties here. It's also not clear how much of this discovered missing matter takes over for the dark matter. I've had conflicting reports that say it's not the dark matter. They still need dark matter. Others that say maybe it is. And meanwhile, since they don't know where the fast radio bursts come from originally, actually, and how far away they are, there's a lot of uncertainty about this data, about how much the radio signal changed over time. So have we learned anything? Who knows, John? That's the story. It's uncertain, and that's what science is all about.
I want to picture this. So what we're saying is it isn't that it wasn't there. It was that we didn't have an instrument to detect it until now. Is that it?
That's at least what they're saying. And I always have thought that this so-called missing matter had a great deal to do with the difficulty of detection. I mean, matter in space doesn't, if it's like dust, for example, it doesn't produce any signal. How do you know it's even there? You only can tell it's there by the light traveling through it and how that light changes as it gets to you. But how do you know what the light was originally like? You know, it was just something uncertainties here. So anyway, they think they've located a great deal of the missing matter now.
And the NASA produced illustrations of those sort of blue blobs hanging around. Those are now disappeared?
You're talking about the dark matter. Who knows, yeah. John? They don't know.
Because the case was the dark matter was the gravity, was the mass we needed to hold the galaxy together and not fly apart.
It's the mass needed to to produce the velocities of the stars in the galaxy, not to hold it together. And that mass is still not located, or if it is located now, there's a lot of uncertainties about its location.
All right, let's go to something we can see, Mars. What you declare, Bob, that we have a metric ahead of us that we haven't achieved. We got to walk on it, correct?
Yes. I have two pictures on Behind the Black from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter on behind of examples of how you really can't get these questions truly answered until you walk the surface. The first picture shows what clearly looks like glacial debris in a depression on Mars. The problem is that it's in the dry tropics of Mars where there's no near-surface ice as far as we can tell. And so how do you have a glacial period? It could be lava because it's on the slopes of one of the giant volcanoes. But, you know, once again, it looks like glacial debris. And so is it glacial? You're going to have to go there to find out. The second image shows a crater that looks surely like it has sublimating ice filling its interior and on the plateau around it. It looks like you've got pockmarks from sublimating near-surface ice. But once again, this is a crater that's in the dry tropics of Mars. So there shouldn't be near-surface ice here, yet maybe there is. And so that's once again a question. You really, orbital data might clarify it somewhat, but until you actually walk the surface, you're not going to really know, John.
Does a glacier leave scars similar to running water, or are they different kind of?
It's very, yes. It's different, but glacial valleys produced by glaciers are scarred from the glaciers, and it has some similarities to what you see on rivers.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.